Friday, July 3rd. We're here. Welcome to the live stream of Take It Home Podcast. Got a new setup. I think it changes every week, but I think we're going to stick with this one. I really like this one. Thank you for everybody that's going to join me. A little bit different format. I guess to say it's a little bit different format. Brad, my producer, just shot me some topics he thought would be interesting for me to cover. So I'm going to cover all of those. New thing is if you are active on social media, I know some people are, some people aren't with everything that's going on. If you're active on social media, just hashtag take it home. And what we're going to do is I've found out over the past like three episodes of doing this show that is very hard for me to pay attention to the screens, pay attention to the cameras, pay attention to the flow of the show. It's just a lot. So I'm gonna try out a few weeks like this, a few of the episodes like this, where I have predetermined topics or predetermined subjects that my producer Brad wanted me to discuss, and thought I'd have an interesting take on. So we're gonna go with that. I still want this to be an interactive show, so please feel free to make sure that you comment, discuss what I'm talking about, do all that you can to be interactive. I'm going to try to pay attention to them, but I'm going to try to get in my zone, because the last episode I was very like underwhelmed with how it turned out, because I couldn't get in my zone. And I really want to get in my zone of so I can get like deliver what's in my brain about what I think and my opinions on things that are happening in professional wrestling. That's what this is all about. So yeah, so welcome. We'll let some people jump on here. If you haven't already, tomorrow we are unveiling the new Wrestling Open Forum Show website, which put a lot of time and effort in this week, and I love the layout of it, and I love the way it's laid out. I just said layout, and I love the way that it's what's the word I'm looking for? The way that it's put together, for lack of a better term. My brain's not working. So it's starting off good already, guys. But no, like the way it's everything's positioned, it's very like content-based, in a sense of it's very easy to find the different pieces of content, the different series that we have. Not to mention that we put up all our old school episodes, which is 51 episodes of the first drawing board, or the first rendition of what the Wrestling Open Forum started as, and you can see how it's grown. Also, we have Glenn and Bobby on those episodes, and it's just hilarity ensues when Glenn and Bobby are on the episodes, and we talk about it's interesting. I haven't watched any of those episodes in the past 2 years after we did them, and I watched some of them back when I was putting the website together, and it's awesome to see like our point of views. It's fun to go back and watch and listen to us talk, knowing what we know now, not knowing what we know now then. Like it's fun to pick our point of views up and see how we're like, if we're right about stuff, we're wrong about stuff, we're completely wrong about stuff, or if we predicted some cool stuff. So it's always fun to go back and watch those. And once again, Bobby cuts promos on Dixie Carter and Vince Russo and just a list of people that are always classic, always funny. Yeah, I miss Bobby. But yeah, so go back, check them out. We got new merch. Throw out the old In Dutch We Trust. Thank you to 1820 Apparel, who does all of our merch. You can go there. I have been told by them that it's an extended print time and ship out, so it could take up to 6 weeks to get any shirts out that are on the sites because of the COVID-19 stuff. So you don't necessarily have to buy merch now. Just go check it out. Just take a note down of something you like and then buy it whenever all this COVID-19 stuff is long gone and we can get back to some type of normalcy in our lives. But hey, thank you guys for joining me. Every other Friday, I'm right here on the Facebook page and the YouTube page. The YouTube page, I believe, is linked to the website or the YouTube stream, so yeah, check it out. Join me. Discuss. Let's talk some wrestling. So thank you again to Brad Wilson, who is my man of honor, or my producer, who said he could make this thing flow 10 times better. And I'm trying, Brad. I am trying. It's been a long time, besides the Tuesday special pieces, but that's just me talking about stuff. It's been a long time wrestling-wise that I've done, like, solo podcast. So I'm trying to get in my groove. I'm trying to find my way. And I'll get there. Just bear with me. Let me find out what the flow of this show is going to be and how it's going to work. So thank you guys for joining me. Let's talk some wrestling. Why not? Topic number one. Let me get a sip of water. Topic number one. Somebody I know very well, somebody I worked with, is Tessa Blanchard. I'm sure everyone here has heard the Tessa Blanchard news. I'm not going to get into all the accusations. That's not what I'm here to talk about. Brad's question was, Tessa Blanchard, who was right? Tessa or Impact? All right. I'm going to give two versions or two answers to this subject because I'm not sure. I did some research, and I still haven't found like all the details that are involved in this story. Listen, I love Tessa. I love Tessa to death. Have I had my disagreements with Tessa? Yes. Have I had my arguments with Tessa? Yes. Has Tessa been, I don't want to say difficult to work with, because she was never difficult to work with, but just if she doesn't, she's very strong with her opinions. So I can see this, but like I feel bad for Impact Wrestling because, they took that big step, I think it was Bound for Glory. They took that big step at making a female their world champion, which is a progressive look to, or a progressive way to move the business forward and not be afraid of intergender wrestling as WWE and AEW are. And it's something that can break you apart from those other two organizations. Because some people like it. Some people still have that mindset that men and women shouldn't fight. I don't agree with that. I think you can do intergender wrestling and you can do it right. And I think Impact and Sammy and Tessa did it right. I've seen many, many matches with Tessa doing intergender wrestling, and it makes sense. It's fun. And that's what wrestling is supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun. Don't you think too much about it. Don't think too much. It's supposed to be fun. Let it be fun. And if you can go back, I'm not sure how you can do it. I'm sure go to impactwrestling.com. They'll have on demand, or they might watch highlights. Actually watch the, I think it's on Fight Network. Fight Network in Canada did a documentary with Tessa the day that she won the title, where they follow her around. Very well done. You can see like all aspects of what it takes at that level when you're winning the world championship. But yeah, I feel bad for Impact because they took a big step and it did not pay off for them. It makes me scared. Like when you're a company and you take a step like that and it doesn't pay off, it makes you very, very cautious of taking a step like that again, which I think that's what Impact needs. I think Impact needs to have the balls to take those kinds of steps to move forward. I think, but the problem with wrestling is a lot of stuff's been done. So you almost have to go against the grain to do something new. And like once again, a female world champion is so far against the grain to the traditional thought process of professional wrestling that I think it paid off for him in a sense. I'm contradicting myself, but I think it paid off for him initially. But the fact that, and I know, and this is where I say I don't know the full story, because I know like right after that is the COVID-19 stuff. And I know that throws a kink in everything. So I read that Tessa's with Daga in Mexico, and I don't know if she can travel, because if she travels, maybe there's that 14-day quarantine. So I don't know if she has to come in 14 days prior. I don't know if she wants to A, pay to do that, or B, wants to be away from her family or her boyfriend or whatever that long. There's personal reasons there. I get it. I understand. but also like the narrative that she was supposed to film some stuff, film some promos, and get them to Impact for an episode of Impact on whatever channel that was. Oh shit, what channel are they on? I don't know. I know it, but I just can't think of it. But that's where you drop the ball, Tessa. That's where, if you're the world champion in the middle of a pandemic or not, you are a leader and you are the example setter of the locker room. So, I don't know if there's miscommunication. I don't know all the details. That's why, like, I'm just giving you a vague answer. In a sense of if these are the details, then Tessa was in the wrong. If these are the details, I don't see how Impact could be in the wrong. I mean, they have somebody they've invested time and money into, and they've given her the biggest push she's ever had in her career, made her a household name to people that might not be accustomed to a Tessa Blanchard, people that didn't follow her on the indies, didn't see her in PWX, didn't see her in Wrestle Circus. They made her a household name. And their push of her might get her to WWE. That's what the narrative. That's what everybody's reporting, that WWE's interested in signing her. I know that she had some not so good times with WWE during the Mae Young Classic, and that's why she ended up going to Impact. But I mean, I don't know. I do feel like if they send you if you're contracted by someone, you're still getting paid. I assume that's how that worked. I don't think it's by a show basis. Why would anybody do that? But if you're still getting paid, then you need to at least get done what they need done for their television show. Like, you're the world champion. But we are talking about a 24-year-old. I mean, that might not see it as that is important. That's all speculation. I don't know. I can't speak for Tessa, but I do feel bad for Impact, because I feel like Impact are doing a lot of things right now. I think that they have. I love their set for the no crowd film or tapings. I think they have unbelievable storylines. Their creative has been incredible. Their production value has been incredible. I mean, they're doing what they can with what they have, and I admire that. But it's a shitty situation that I think they're going to turn into a positive, because anytime that you go into a big pay-per-view, even though there's no crowd, when people know that there's going to be a new champion crown and they're going to see a moment, it is a selling point. As much as shitty as it's been to get here, but it is a selling point. So, I mean, I was going to say, I don't know who the fourth person is, because I know Elgin got booted out too of the five-way for the world championship at Impact at Slammiversary, but I think I'm going to say Eddie Edwards or Ace Austin. That's my predictions that will happen on July 18th. But yeah, man. And if the worst thing, if it came out that Tessa knew that WWE was interested, and you chose not to do something that was asked because you knew another entity was interested, that's where there's issues. That's where there's credibility issues. That's where there's trust issues. That's where that makes you a shitty person, because once again, this is a company that contracted you. I mean, there was other offers out there I heard, but when they signed her, but contracted you, I assume lived up to the hype and pushed you the way you would want to be pushed. I don't see why, how they couldn't, with her beating Brian Cage and her beating Sammy for the title and them putting the world title on her. I don't see how you can come out of that saying that they didn't fulfill their end of the deal. But if that's where you got a question. And I mean, I think we all know that WWE doesn't care what people do. They're getting to bed with anybody, in a sense of they'll sign people with bad reps or not the best history, but I hope that's not the case. I hope it was just a miscommunication with Tessa and Impact Wrestling Management or Creative or whoever was supposed to get in touch with her. I hope that she didn't just decide she didn't want to do anything. I completely understand not wanting to come in and not wanting to travel during the COVID-19 pandemic. But yeah, hopefully both parties come out of it, wash their hands of it. She publicly thanks Impact for what they've done for her and progressing her career when I think like AEW said they're not interested. The only thing out there is WWE is interested, but WWE wasn't interested when Impact signed her. AEW wasn't around when Impact signed her, so it's Impact was the ones that gave her the chance. They're the ones that took the chance on her, and I think it helped her. I think it pushed her. I think that she grew from it, and I mean, kudos to her, and kudos to Impact Wrestling. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I will continue to preach it. Kudos to Impact Wrestling for having the guts to put a female world champion on your company and put that in the history books and move towards equality in professional wrestling based on sexual orientation. But yeah, so hopefully I'm going to watch. Well, here, I'll tell you what. Brad put a helpful hint on this. He said JR once said, Jim Ross once said, never make a plans for a talent past their contract. I agree with that. But once again, this is a weird situation in a sense that the pandemic has created, like you don't have access to talent like you would. We've seen that with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens with WWE. You don't have the same travel, leniency of travel and leniency of getting talent into shows as we once had before pandemic season. But yeah, so I don't necessarily know that I'm sure that she would have dropped it before Slammiversary or before her contract went up, but I don't even think she showed up since she's won it because of all this. So, I mean, that's a gray area, but yeah, I agree with Jim Ross in a sense of no plans. Don't make any plans or don't let anyone hold a title past their contract. I'm sure you should. We saw a title dumped into the trash can by Medusa on Nitro. We've seen Bret Hart not want to go under. I mean, it never comes out good. History has told us that. Moving on to the next. Will NWA survive the speaking out movement with Lagana gone? Who do you think would be a good replacement? I think, let me back up. I'm not a fan of Lagana, but I mean, I agree with his decision. I think that he claims they weren't true, but I think NWA has been on such a roll, and when I talk to people about NWA, they say stuff like, well, they do their shows in front of 500 people or 300 people in a sound studio. They get good views on YouTube, and their show is entertaining, and it's different, and it's new. And it's new presentation of an old system. And that's a beautiful thing. And I didn't really get it at first, but once I started watching Power and understanding what they were trying to do, I don't know. I do know like names of people that are behind the scenes that like produce Impact. And I know Dave did Creative and Billy did Creative and stuff like that. But the problem here is like if NWA is the car that Billy Corgan owns, Dave Lagana was the engine. And like Dave Lagana ran the entire NWA from what I know. And every time that we had to work with him, every time that we had Nick in, I had to go through Lagana. I very rarely ever talked to Dave, to Billy. I don't know that. Sorry, I got some clicking in my headphones. There we go. I don't know that NWA. They have to find somebody who's willing to put in the time that Dave Lagana had put in. Initially, right out of the gate, if you ask me, let me finish this. If will they survive? I believe so. It depends on the will of Billy Corgan and the amount of money that he's invested in NWA and in the in getting the product going, and if he's willing to push forward, and I think he is, because once again, go back to history. History with Billy Corgan in professional wrestling, he is very passionate about it. He has done a lot, spent a lot of money to stay in professional wrestling and to help out companies. And now he's got something good going with his own company, with the brand that he bought, that he owns now. He's kind of revived it. I think he's done a better job than anybody else in the past has done at reviving it. But once again, you have to find someone who's got the work ethic and willing to do as much. I assume Lagana got compensated a good amount for what he did. I'm not sure. But like initially... I think they will survive. It all depends on Corgan, of course, because he's the owner. A company is bigger than one person. Once again, you might have to change direction. You might have to change the systematic foundation or systematic format of how the company is built. But I think you can still go. I don't think it kills your company. He got accused one day and the next day he resigned. So they didn't take a lashing. Like a week long lashing until he made a statement. It's NWA really isn't at fault. Where they kind of fall is, once again, Lagana was the heartbeat that kept that thing rolling. I mean, Corgan did his thing, but he's touring. He's doing all this stuff. Not right now, but through the year of their resurgence. That's what I was looking for. The year of their resurgence, Dave Lagana is the one that's been organizing everything. Who would be a good person to replace them? I know, like, immediately the person that pops in my head is Dave Marquez. And if anybody that doesn't know Dave Marquez is the gentleman that does the interviews. I shouldn't say older. Got the glasses. I love Dave Marquez. But the only reason I say that is because he's been associated ever since I worked with NWA. He's been associated with the NWA forever, and he's a TV producer. He runs CWF. It's Championship Wrestling of Hollywood now. It was used to be CWF Hollywood, but Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He's incredible, like incredible in professional wrestling, incredible in production, incredible at building. He's got the United Wrestling Networks. I think that's the UWN. He can do it all. And he's always been there working with NWA, and he knows the history. He knows what NWA is built on, so he can move it forward, but he can keep the traditional values of what the NWA stands for, because he's lived through it. He knows it. He's like a historian on the NWA. And I don't know that he has the time to take on a role like that unless the money is right. But he does a lot. He's a TV producer. Like I said, he runs a network. He runs CWF Hollywood. I shouldn't call it Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. But he rings out people like through his system that are unbelievable editors, unbelievable talents. Some are in NXT. Some are, I assume, other places. I mean, he's like the full package. And I mean, I know there's another producer, I can't remember his name, down in Atlanta that does the power tapings, and they have some like production assistants, but I don't know. I think that they just have to take a step back. I think they're doing the right thing. I think take it, especially during this pandemic. There's no reason, if you don't have to film and you have to do it with no crowds, there's no reason for NWA to film. I think they've done a very good job with doing the podcast episodes and doing what they can to keep the name out there and just keep the ball rolling. But yeah, I think they'll survive. I hope they survive. I have a lot of friends that have gotten opportunities in front of the cameras and behind the scenes with NWA to make some money. And that's what we're all here to do. We're all here to create art and make some money. Yeah, I hope they survive. As with everybody that was accused of or has accusations against them for the speaking out, I hope they just take a step back, understand their place. I've said it numerous times. I don't want to repeat myself. But step back and understand how you can, like, what happened even if you don't agree that it happened or it wasn't explained right or this or that, just take a step back and understand why you were accused and try to break that down as opposed to just straight going into defense mode. If you didn't do it, say you didn't do it, stand by that. But the truth will eventually come out. That's how the world works. But yeah, just understand why you're in the situation you're in. And because I don't care what some people say, like they just have a vendetta against me because they don't like me or this or that. There's a reason that somebody said that about you. Whether you give them creepy vibes or you did something and they're calling you out, there's a reason that you're in this situation. So step back, get the help you need, and assess the situation of how you got there and try to move forward as a better person, better man. But yeah, I hope, like, man, once again, I'm going to be honest. I didn't get NWA when they first started back. I worked with some NWA like off brands, for years and just didn't like felt that the system was old. It's nostalgia act, and kudos to Corgan and Lagana for what they've done. I hate the fact that all this happened right before they were going to do that big show in Atlanta. The big pay-per-view, but yeah, I think they're doing the right thing. I think they're keeping their name out there with all the entertainment pieces they're putting out on their YouTube and, the show, like the original shows that everyone's doing, all the networks are doing, from home. And, yeah, I think they're doing the right thing by, just keeping the brand name out. And I hope that once this pandemic gets like situated and kind of we got a grasp on it and we can start moving to whatever normal life will be after that, that they can get back in the studios and film some more episodes and start putting them out, because I enjoy them. I thoroughly do. I thoroughly enjoy like the studio tapings, and yeah, so kudos, good luck Billy and Maureen and all those people that work for NWA. They have an awesome team. And I hope they find somebody to step in that. I hope they continue the sailing the boat in the right direction and avoid the icebergs. That's what we say. All right. Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman. It's a Wyatt Swamp fight. I assume that's supposed to be Swamp. And it's reported to be cinematic. I love it. You want my thoughts on that, Brad? I love it. I love they're going to do cinematic. Listen, I don't want them to overdo it, because people have a tendency to do that. Whenever they can, let me see, I want to say this. Whenever they can do something or they take a risk and it becomes successful, companies have a tendency to jump all over it and run it into the ground. I think that the cinematic matches need to be spaced out accordingly. Do them only when it should happen, only when it's necessary. But also on the other end of that, with the risk of contradicting myself, like if you're going to do it, this is the day and time to do it. When you can't have crowds, or you have crowds of trainees or people that train and some family members of people that are signed to the performance center, which really isn't a crowd. I still don't like that. But I think that if you have a situation that offers a reason to take different steps towards your presentation, then I think do it. A and B, you're saving these guys from taking a bunch of bumps. And I know it takes longer. If anybody that watched the Last Ride documentary sees how long filming something like that, but especially with a character like Bray Wyatt, and I know like I've talked to nauseam about how much I love the Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania. But like think about if you can mix the Firefly Funhouse and the match with Randy or was it Randy? Like no, Randy Orton burned down the house. I don't think they did. Like Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, kind of like if you mix that and you get this swamp fight, I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be fun. Like Bray Wyatt is as much an actor as he is a wrestler. He's incredible with that gimmick. He's incredible with that character. If we get the old school cult leader Bray Wyatt, I'd love it. I like the nostalgia factor of that. And then if I think Bray needs the belt back. I hate to say that because I love the fact that Braun was getting the opportunity to carry it and getting the opportunity to be the man. But I think at a time like this, when there's, when you can't have a crowd, you need, you have to overlook, I won't say the talent, but you have to overlook the talent aspect of somebody that'll draw a crowd because you can't draw a crowd. So you need the most entertaining person in the company on top. And I think Bray Wyatt is by far, no one is even close, maybe Edge with his promos, but nobody's even close to as entertaining as Bray Wyatt is, and how much stuff you can do and how creative his brain is and how he can maneuver his character in a COVID-19 era of entertainment to where he can grasp like your attention with just a blink of an eye or one puppet coming up over the wall. It's incredible. And it's a just acclamation to his ability, his mental like capacity of professional wrestling and his mental capacity and his mental, like how his mind works at entertaining a crowd on both live shows and television. But it's more about television right now. And Braun Strowman just does not have, I feel like Braun Strowman falls into like the Andre the Giant category, not in a sense of he's a giant, in the sense of his stature and his build are so incredible when you see it in person that's the thing people come to see. The problem right now is nobody can come see him. So there's no reason to let his run be part of a time frame when one of his biggest assets isn't even available right now because nobody can come see him. You put somebody like that on top. So when he walks out with that belt, they see this giant human being who looks larger than life holding a belt. Hogan is the same thing. Hogan had charisma. Hogan had four moves, but Hogan was bigger than anyone you've ever seen and larger than life and was an incredible specimen. So was Andre the Giant. I mean, then you have people that just can wrestle. You have the Ricky Steamboats, the Randy Savages, Tito Santana, Bruno Sammartino was kind of a mix because he was just huge. But like if you going a little old school, like those are people that fans that enjoyed professional wrestling came to see wrestle. I think Braun, like you have somebody like Braun Strowman, not to take anything away from his wrestling ability, but his marketing ability is his size. And why waste a run where people can come and pay tickets to see him hold that belt and you buy his merchandise and buy this and buy that? Why waste that in a time period where you can't have any fans? You need someone who can wrestle, but also is creative, that you can sell television without having to be in a match. That's who you need on top right now. That's why I don't think you need Randy Orton on top right now. I think you let him, I mean, I know they're pushing him to the moon ever since Vince took back over, or Vince and Bruce started doing Raw again, but like you need Bray Wyatt now more than ever. And if that isn't evident to the ratings when he's on your television during Raw, I don't know what else to tell you. Like it's common sense. If you work in professional wrestling and you understand booking or creative or anything of that sort then you know that you need somebody like Bray Wyatt. And if I know like they've given him the run, then Goldberg took him out and that kind of backfired. But I still think that Bray Wyatt is the man. I think Bray Wyatt still deserves his run. I think like set him, like for lack of a better term, this sounds so corny. It even sounded corny when it popped in my head. Like set him free. Set that character free. let him do anything within the bounds of your PG era rating. Let him do whatever he wants to, because this is the time that you need entertaining television. You can't get away with, I mean, I guess you can get away with like a 25-minute match. AJ and Daniel Bryan were good on SmackDown. But, I mean, you can only do that so many times without a crowd, because, once again, I mean, I'm not oblivious to it. You shouldn't be either. But the crowd is what makes good matches in this day and time. Maybe not in Japan. Japan, you appreciate the physical aspect of it, but you're used to a crowd being silent and respecting the talents and respecting the match and respecting the art form. In the States, it's the crowd reaction is what makes a match. If you don't believe me, go back and look at every takeover that has ever happened. I mean, Pete Dunne versus what's his name? Tyler Bate. Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate from NXT TakeOver. That was for the European Championship or the England Championship or whatever it is. Like, that match was incredible. Was absolutely incredible. Think about that match with no crowd. Now think about that match with a crowd and see how much that crowd made that match that much more special. Like, added that extra layer on top of how awesome those two guys worked that day and just made that a moment. Made that, that's the thing, man. You can't rely on that this day and time. You got to find something different. And that something different is sitting right there in your lap, WWE. You just got to pull the trigger on it. And I think that a cinematic, I'm completely off topic, just putting over Bray Wyatt, but I think a cinematic piece will, A, if you announce it's going to be cinematic, it's going to make people watch, because the last three cinematic pieces, the last two cinematic pieces that you've done are like above everybody else. So you've created this expectation, and you just come in there, put in the time, put in the effort, let these guys have fun with it. I assume they will, because I think from what I've read, the whole Firefly Funhouse match was mostly Cena and Bray Wyatt throwing ideas back and forth. Dude, just let the minds work. Let the wrestlers work together. Just let's create magic. I'm interested in seeing it. I can't wait to see it. I hope it is a cinematic match, and I hope it does well. And I love you, Braun Strowman, but I hope that Bray Wyatt gets the belt and we get to see more of him and let him turn Raw into his own funhouse. That's what I would do if I had the pencil. But all right. WWE may not be able to film in Florida anymore with COVID spike. How mad is their Monday night streak? Is their Monday night streak in jeopardy? And does Fox pull the deal if they can't produce new SmackDown content? I don't know. I assume, judging from what we've seen and what we've, I feel like, I'm just going to put it out there. I feel like WWE has some political pull, and I think that they bring a lot of money into Florida. So I feel like that's why they've kind of gotten the deals that they've gotten with the whole COVID thing. I feel like if you're using the same people, and I know they've had COVID, like there's been a few people that have come out that they tested positive for COVID from WWE. But I feel like if they keep doing it safely, I don't see why they would have a problem with it. I don't think that they're going to tell them no. They're a business. They're doing it safely. I assume everybody that's there, they might make them not have crowds again, but I assume everybody that's there is there voluntarily because they want to get paid and they want to take part in creating this, but more, they want to get paid. Talent, I'm not sure. Depends on what the travel. They might just have to use talent in Florida, which would be kind of weird, but or just get extended stay for talent in Florida so they can stay in Florida until this pandemic's over, which is going to be very, very costly. But yeah, I don't think, I don't see Florida telling them they can't, because I mean, in theory, the COVID spike really, I don't want to get political. The COVID spike comes from they're testing more people. And they're also, remember when they first started, they only had the nose test. So they were just doing the nostril test. Then they got the blood test. Now they have the swab test for antibodies. So if anything that comes up that like people that have had it, the people that like have it now, like they're just tallying numbers. What you have to look for with COVID is the death numbers, because we know people are going to get it. It's a virus. That's what happens. People get it. And that's what's going to continue to happen. That's what's going to happen the rest of this year. That's what's going to happen next year. That's what's going to happen the year after that. That's going to happen the next year. We just have to figure out some type of vaccine for it. And B, just find out what is the most effective way to fight it. We have a country full of people that don't give a shit and don't listen to regulations, whether they seem like you should or not. Like that's up to you and your personal mental values of how you're going to separate what you want to do and what you don't want to do. But yeah, it's the one thing we know for sure is if you walk around and you're in groups with people that are sick or people that are potentially sick, then you have a chance to get it. That's what we do know. So if you're sick, stay at home. Don't get in big groups. I don't know how this turned into a COVID exercise, but I think that as long as they continue their testing process at WWE at the Performance Center, then and they're doing it safely and they don't have a big spike. Like if 20 or 30 people, I think they've had like 5 or 6 people that have tested positive for COVID. And they could have got that anywhere. That's not a guarantee that they got it at WWE. And they've been criticized, and I've criticized them for their testing and their system. I don't know if they changed it. I don't know if I assume they've taken a look at it and tried to better it since all of this stuff happened. But I mean, I don't see Florida shutting it down. That's the one thing that's still bringing money. I don't even know if they're bringing money into Florida. They're paying, I don't know. I mean, to people that live in Florida, I assume, but yeah, that's one thing that can come out of Florida during all this pandemic that keeps some type of normalcy to the state. I mean, the thing about Florida is everybody's going to the beaches and doing all this shit. That's what's spiking. But there's going to be a spike. Understand that first. There's going to be a spike in the COVID cases. There's going to be a spike through the end of the year. We just have to understand that we have a virus, that we need to take precautions, wear a mask if we need to. If you're going to be around people, wear a mask. Don't bitch about it. Just wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, stay at home. There's Uber Eats. You can send somebody else to the grocery store for you. I don't know. Do I think Fox will pull the deal if they can't produce new SmackDown material? I don't know about that. I think Fox is in the long run. I think Fox is hurting. I don't think Fox is going out of business, but I think Fox is hurting because I think that's why they canceled Backstage. I feel like the Fox deal is somebody trying to take advantage of wrestling, but over expecting. It's network television. It's what they do. They sign you to a deal. They give you a lot of money because they just did something, like had a business merger or have some money to throw out. So they sign you to a deal. They throw high expectations at you, as does any corporate network will do that. And then you like almost impossible expectations. And then when you don't deliver, they blame it on you. That's what they do. That's what any network will do if they sign a show. That's what any record label would do if they sign an artist, unless they just find a diamond in the rough. But I mean, I think Fox is in it for the long run. I still think that SmackDown is, I mean, you're not going to get high ratings right now. You can't, you're stupid to expect to get high ratings at this day and time with everything that's going on. And they're unable, they're doing the best they can to produce a product that can entertain Fox viewers. That's a lot more than most of their primetime shows that can't film another season. So, I mean, you have to, I think Fox has to hold on to the value that is WWE, that they can continue to produce original content in this day and time. And that's, I mean, kudos to them for doing it. I mean, if it wasn't the right call, that's not my decision to make. But I do think that, I don't think Fox will let them go. I think, Fox just tried to create as much wrestling content. It's like if you pay somebody, what is it, $4 billion? It was a $40 billion something. What I think it was $40 billion. It can't be $40. I don't know. If you pay somebody billions of dollars, let's just put it at that, for content, I feel like you're going to have to, like you have to just throw shit up against the wall and try to find something that sticks. So I think that's what Backstage was. I think Backstage was like, hey, there was some executive producer at Fox was like, hey, I remember back when they used to do like Saturday morning, Live Wire or something like that. It was like a talk show. There's like a recap. Have you ever tried like a ESPN style or a Fox Sports style talk show with wrestling? And they're like, no, not really. Hey, let's give it a try. And I don't blame them. If you're paying that much for content, why not just throw something against the wall and see if you can get viewers and viewership from it? I just don't think it ever took off because wrestling fans don't like that stuff. I mean, some people do, but I think they went out on a limb to try to get CM Punk, which was a beautiful business move. I just, once again, I think that I don't know that it was marketed right. I don't know that it felt from when I watched it, it felt redundant. I think when you have wrestling fans, they want to see wrestling, and it's only a matter of time before they don't like talking. And that's very part of me. That was very shitty of me to say, because that's what we do here at Wrestling Open Forum, is we talk, but we give our opinions and give like recaps. So it's a little different. It's with Backstage, I don't know they ever found their footing. If they would have gave it a year to find their footing and find what works, I think it could have worked. I think it could have been, but I think that Backstage is something they need to produce for the network. If I was WWE, I think that you build your own set at WWE Studios, and you put that on the network that would just get viewership and get subscribers. Everybody that's on there is under contract. You don't have to bring in CM Punk if you don't want to. But put it on the network. Let them say what they want to say and do what they want to do. I mean, but I get it. I don't blame WWE. I don't blame Fox for trying it. But yeah, it's super hard when you're a company based around professional wrestling, based on putting out a live professional wrestling content. It's very hard to change the minds of your fans wanting to watch people talk about wrestling. That's what these podcasts are for. But yeah. Let me see if there's any other. I don't know. I don't think I have anything else. Thank you, Brad, for throwing those at me. Thank you, everyone, for watching. I do want to encourage everyone, like, listen, we're at the infant stage of Wrestling Open Forum. I know I've had it, me and Dutch have had it for about 3 years. But this is the first run that we've actually put a lot of time and effort into doing all these shows, and we're going to continue to try to produce as much content for you. We're working with some other producers and some other content creators to get more wrestling content on it. So if you'd like to support us, continue watching. But if you want to support us monetarily, we have started our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/WOF show. Go check it out. We have 3 tiers. The $5, $10, and $15 tier, you get some cool stuff. The $5 is just, you basically get everything we do plus a coupon code to our apparel, and you get to watch the Wrestling Open Forum show that's available only on the High Spots Wrestling Network right now and our Patreon. So you theoretically you're paying to get discounts on apparel and watch the Wrestling of Inform show. You get it as soon as it goes out every Saturday. But the $10 and the $15, you get some cool stuff. We got we're about to record the first ever Patrick and Dutch Wrestling Open Forum Uncut episode, which is us drinking and talking freely and using free language about professional wrestling. And I'm be honest, I have a lot of stuff up here in my head that I know that I can't put out there on these public posts. And I will let my guard down and just throw stuff out on the uncut episodes. That's only available to our patrons. So I encourage you to go check that out. And more importantly, just like, if you like what we do, just support us. And whether it be monetarily through our Patreon or just watching these shows, sharing our page, share our WrestlingOpenForum.com page, brand new. Let us know what you think. Follow us on Twitter at Open Forum Show. On Facebook, go like our Facebook page. We have a ton of people jumping on board, and I love it. And I'm not asking everybody for money. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to create a community of professional wrestling fans that like to talk about it. And also with our Patreon, we could do a live Q&A every month, so we can just sit and talk, and I'll answer any questions you want. Can answer any questions I have for you. I just want to get to know everybody, all of our fans. So run over to patreon.com /WOF show to look at what we offer. If you feel the need or you want some extra content on top of everything else. And also, once again, it's a page that has all of our content in one spot. It's just like wrestlingopenforum.com. But if you feel like you want to support us monetarily, we're always buying new equipment, buying new mics. Next step is we want to buy our own little studio so we can set up all of our sets and make it easier to produce this content for you and set up some cool little spots. But yeah, and make sure you go check out WrestlingOpenForum.com, brand new. Tell me what you think. You can tweet us at Open Forum Show or send us a message on our Facebook page. But more importantly, just stay safe. Stay safe. Listen. Living in a crazy-ass time right now. Crazy-ass time. So keep in mind, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, Black Lives Matter. Everyone stay safe during this COVID-19. We need to straighten our shit up, America. Straighten our shit up. Until then, though, we're going to continue producing content for you right here on the Wrestling Open Forum. And, so thank you guys. I appreciate you hanging out with me. We got Wrestling Open Forum Show popping out tomorrow on our Patreon. And I'm talking too much. Should just cut it off with thank you guys. I try to throw all this other shit in there and it messes me up. Let me start over. We're going to continue throwing this content out to you. So check out Wrestling Open Forum Show. New episode comes out tomorrow on High Spots Wrestling Network and or patreon.com/WOF show. On Monday, Dutch is throwing out a brand new kick out. If you haven't seen his first two or three episodes. If you haven't seen his first episodes, go check him out. He's fallen into his own. I love watching him do it by himself because he's so nervous and it takes a while to get used to. That it does. But yeah, go check that out. And every other Friday, you got this. Take it home. That's what I'm going to do right now. So thank you guys for joining me. I appreciate you. Stay safe. Take care of each other.